All right, Richard Roper just sat down with Christian Bale from Ford versus Ferrari. It's an amazing film. He gives it 3.5 stars. Tracy Letts plays Henry Ford II. You got Carol Shelby, the great car designer and then sort of car genius from the 50s and 60s into the 70s, is played by that Matt Damon. Yeah. And then Christian Bale gives an amazing performance. Here is Richard Roper and Christian Bale.
Good to talk to you. Thanks so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I want to congratulate you because I haven't seen you do such fine work behind the wheel of a machine since you were in my hometown of Chicago as the Dark Knight. So it's good to see you behind the wheel of a high-speed racing machine again.
This one's a little bit higher speed, a little bit racier as well, but it doesn't jump other cars or blow them out of the way.
I read somewhere, Christian, that you actually took some driving school instruction, actually spent some time, you know, really learning this car?
Yeah, I went to the Bob Bondurant, who was one of Ken Miles' peers, who was mentioned, he's referenced in the film, and he was a Formula One racer, he raced Le Mans as well. So I went, and it was not only great in terms of learning how to drive a sport car to, not the level that those guys do, obviously, they're doing it since the age of 4, but as far as I could push it, but also getting to just yarn with Bob over these very long lunches where he would just tell me stories about the time and the era and about Ken Miles and whatnot. So, very good times.
Yeah, sort of two layers of research at once there. That's got to be very helpful when you're developing the character. And also, I've had the privilege of seeing some of these cars, and I remember a few years back, Christian, I got to see some of Paul Newman's racing cars. And, you know, as you know...
Yeah, well, Bob worked with Paul Newman a lot. And trained him.
And as you know, Mr. Newman was... He was, maybe 5'10", 165 pounds. These cars are not made for large-sized men. Did you have to do any kind of physical transformation just to literally be able to fit into the car?
Well, yes, because I've been playing Dick Cheney, and Dick Cheney would not be your ideal race car driver. So, yes, as you say, the lighter the racer, the more the horsepower gets to actually move the car faster.
And you mentioned Vice, and I think about, all the characters you've done in recent years, Christian, almost all of them, whether it's, Dick Cheney, who had that Midwestern rasp, or the Boston accent in The Fighter, or the Bronx you were doing in American Hustle. Here you're playing somebody who's, he's from Birmingham. He's not from the same area as you are, but it's a lot closer to your actual accent. How did that inform your character? I mean, do you hear the accent in your head when you're developing these characters?
Very much. It was an interesting one with Ken because I spent quite a bit of time with his son Peter, but Peter grew up here and isn't really able to identify the difference between various British accents in the same way that I can. So I keep getting asked the question, it must have been nice just to be speaking in your own voice. And I understand, how it's tricky to hear the difference, but to a Brit, it's like saying to someone from the Bronx who's using a Texas accent, it must have been nice to use your own voice. The Midlands has a very distinctive sound. Ken Miles came from a town just outside of Birmingham. He didn't have a really, really strong, they call it Brummy, accent. In fact, the interviews that I saw, he sounded positively plummy and very BBC. But I assessed that, and in speaking with Peter, I had to make a decision, and I thought, he's speaking in public, and so he's speaking that way because he's on camera, because nobody from the Midlands sounds like that at all. And so I worked with a lady from Solihull, which is outside of Birmingham as well, who lives out here, and interviewed all of her family and whatnot. Had a wonderful time, learned a great deal of history about the Midlands from it. But I like to always have something that, it's a weakness of mine that I don't like looking in the mirror and going, that's me. I don't like listening to recording and going, that's pretty much me. I like to try to find some definitive difference.
And one of the things I really admired about the film, Christian, was the character you play in movies like this. Quite often, he's a divorced dad because he, doesn't have time for his family, or he's this distant figure. But actually, the relationship between Ken and his son Peter, who's played by Noah Jupe, of course, it's kind of the heart and soul of the film. It's great to see that. That's where you see his, his most human side, and the fact that he does have this warmth.
That's right. Yeah, he's fantastic. Noah, it was a real pleasure to work with. Very funny, and it was very nice, the scenes that we got to do, myself, him, and Katrina. And as you say, it kind of creates the relatable home life. And, much like, families who, military families, families who have a policeman as a dad or a firefighter as a dad, you know, trying to understand these families who are accustomed to the dangers of the dad's job. This is one where it is his skill, it is his passion. What I like so much about it is that Molly Miles was actually a bit of a gearhead herself. Mm. She would write articles in motor magazines. She was very supportive of what Ken did. Her issues were never to do with, please stop your dreams. She always supported his dreams. Her issues, as you see in that car scene, which Katrina plays beautifully, were, don't lie to me and pretend they're not your dreams. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's a wonderful support system. And then equally, the lack of comprehension by the son when he sees what his dad does in 66 at Le Mans at the very end, which goes against everything that Ken believes in. Exactly. Total anathema to him. To compromise and slow down is not what racing is. But he does it, I believe, because of his allegiance to Shelby and knowing how much he's put aside for him and the belief that he is still going to walk away with a triple crown, and he achieved lap records. So he felt like, okay, he will try to take an order for the first time in his life.
Yeah, exactly.
But it ends up absolutely coming back to bite him. And tragically, you know, they certainly believed with absolute confidence they were going to get to come back the following year with Ken, and obviously they would redeem everything then and put it right, but he never got to see that day.
And you know, you mentioned you know, Ken not being a team player, to say the least, and you know, so much of this movie is almost Ford versus Ford, or Shelby and Ken versus Ford, as much as Ford versus Ferrari. And
yes.
You know, I love that dynamic, and of course working with Matt, to have that kind of, you know, that back and forth. But there's also that, and you mentioned Katrina, who's absolutely wonderful, especially in the fight scene, because the fight scene you guys have is the fight scene that would really take place. It's not one of these slam bang, you know, it's not Jason Bourne, you know, to quote one of Matt's characters.
No.
And it's played beautifully.
It was a lot of fun. And Matt's used to doing fight sequences. I am too. We're also accustomed to having to rehearse those for day after day after day. And this one, we got to the usual room with a bunch of mats, and the stunt guys went, well, we were thinking this. They kind of showed us. Within 20 minutes, Matt and me looked at each other and went, got it, done. Let's all have an early day. Because this one, we knew, look, it's all about two guys who respect the hell out of each other in that moment, need to vent, but don't really want to hurt each other seriously.
Yeah.
You know, it's all encapsulated in that choice that he makes, not to hit me with a can, but to hit me with a loaf of Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
And it's quite pathetic, but very telling.
I only got a minute or so before I have to let you go. I wanted to mention to you, Christian, I'm working on my list of the top 100 movies of the decade, because believe it or not, the 2010s are coming to a close. And I have 5 Christian Bale films on this list. Including
thank you very much.
I mean, The Fighter, Dark Knight Rises, Out of the Furnace, which I think is just an absolutely, you know, masterful work, American Hustle, The Big Short.
Thank you so much for mentioning Out of the Furnace, yeah, because I do agree, and, you know, not so many people saw that.
What is it about you that you have such an amazing track record? You choose your projects carefully, but they almost always seem to pan out.
Oh, that's not true. Come on, you've seen enough of my work to know that they don't always pan out. I get lucky, just like anybody else does sometimes. It's always a crapshoot. This one really paid off. It's the process that I've got to look at, and then the wonderful gravy if the film actually comes good at the end. You know, there's so many elements that conspire against the film actually turning out well. But wow, what a glorious moment when they actually do.
Well, that you had one of those moments with this film. Congratulations so much.
Thank you, Richard.
Appreciate talking to you.
You too, mate. Bye-bye.
All right, that was Richard Roper, along with, of course, Christian Bale. Ford versus Ferrari is the movie. Richard gives it 3.5 stars. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Really, really a fun ride, and great acting performances by everybody. We got the news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes.